Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout, the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, and thank you for joining me. This is a two-part episode where I tell you, did your team screw up the NFL draft? And I will say that if you are a fan of an NFC North team, your team likely screwed up the draft, because to me, of any division, that was the worst division in terms of getting value for the picks they had. And I'm not talking about simple value just based on who's on whose board. I'm talking about the way I evaluated these players. So, just last show we focused on the AFC. Today is going to be focused on the NFC. I'm going to go through each division and tell you how did each team do in the draft, give them an evaluation, and then determine who actually won that division, and answer the question that I am going to be asking myself for everyone is, did this team screw up the 2018 NFL draft? And we're going to start off today with the East, just like we did on the last show. I'm going to look at the NFC East today, and as I'm going to look at all divisions, I'm going to start out with the Dallas Cowboys. So looking at how the Dallas Cowboys drafted, I will say the Cowboys drafting, I'm not sure what's different, but overall it has, in my opinion, significantly improved over the last few years. There is a period of time where I was starting to see the Cowboys as kind of like the Oakland Raiders. They would just take these picks that wouldn't make much sense. A lot of boom or bust prospects, but the Cowboys, you know, if you look at recent years, they've gotten smarter with drafting. And I believe that their first three picks, as well as the trade they made to get Tavon Austin, shows me that the Cowboys did a good job in this draft. And I'll break it down for you. They got Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker with Boise State. Leighton Vander Esch is not a finished product, but the upside is tremendous. He's a great athlete. He can fly all over the field, has great lateral range, and can go sideline to sideline. And, just someone who I think, is going to have a good career in the NFL. He's not a can't-miss prospect, but there's a lot to like about him and a lot of reason to think that he'll continue to get better. My only criticism of Leighton is that, sometimes he plays a little bit too wild, and then for that he gets himself out of position. Looking at the Cowboys' second-round pick, they got someone who I thought a lot of teams should have drafted in the first round, or at least traded up for to get in the second round, and that is offensive tackle Connor Williams. To me, when I look at left tackles in the draft, I look at Connor Williams and Mike McGlinchey, and to me, I'm not convinced that anyone else is going to be a solid left tackle. One of the reasons that you don't see a lot of left tackles dominate in the draft, and we don't see a lot of star left tackles, I think the way we used to, is a lot of this RPO run pass option that's going on in college. You see a lot of offensive linemen that are specifically playing, typically run blocking all the time. So to get a good offensive tackle, I think it's something that we're going to continue to see, going to be a position that you're not going to see as many great people come out at over the next few years. But when you have someone like Connor Williams, someone who has a clean tape and apparently from everything you hear loves the game, to get the second best left tackle in the draft, and a guy that I have a first round grade on, a late first round grade, to get him 50th overall, that's pretty good. Third, the Dallas Cowboys got Michael Gallup, the wide receiver from Colorado State, another guy who's going to be a project, but he has upside. Look, I look at, I think guys that are projects should not go in the first round. Looking at, a guy like Josh Allen, to me, should have been a second or third round pick. But I like what they did there with those three picks. They got a linebacker, which they need. They got more help in the offensive line, which, they still, as good as their O-line is, they still want to continue to add to it. And they got, Michael Gallup. So I like that. Not only that, they got Tavon Austin. So to me, the Dallas Cowboys did a great job in this draft, and nothing but praise for them. Next, I'm going to talk about the New York Football Giants. And actually, I did want to correct myself on something. I mentioned it was the NFC North that I thought was the worst draft. I meant to say the AFC North was the worst draft. So if you listen to my previous episode and hear me break down that division, I do believe the AFC North was the worst overall division for drafting. All right, breaking down the New York Giants draft, I'm going to admit My favorite team is the Giants. I will say it from time to time. I don't mean to sound like a homer, but the Giants are my team. They've been my team since I've been 8 years old. I have a Giants tattoo on my left arm. And in the last 10 years, I've probably missed, I can count on my hands the many games, many Giants games I've missed in the last 10 years. So I, they're my team. I'm passionate about them. And I will say a lot of years in the draft, they did not get it right. But I believe, and I will say this right now, that when you look at the first three rounds specifically, not to sound like a homer, but they really did better than any other team. So they got Saquon Barkley second overall in the draft. To me, no question he should have been drafted first overall. The Giants are banking on the Browns' mistake, and that is a mistake to not draft him. I don't care who you have at running back. He is clearly the player in the draft that will change your team the most and the fastest. So why they didn't get him, to me, I still don't get it. But the Giants got Saquon Barkley second overall. He is, in my opinion, one of the three best running back prospects of the last 10 years when you look at college tape. And you could even make an argument that he's number one. In the second round, they got Will Hernandez. Will Hernandez is in my top 20 on my big board. Will Hernandez is a pure guard. He's not a hybrid where he's going to play different positions, but you want to look at a pure guard. You know, think about, you know, a guy like Mike Upati. I think he's going to play a similar style to him. And, you know, to me, you know, I see Will Hernandez as being a Pro Bowl player. He was in my top 20. But when you evaluate Hernandez, you know, to me, there's not much outside of his arm length that you can really criticize. He's a great athlete. I don't, you know, people say he's not a great athlete. You know, turn on the tape and watch more of it than you've watched in the past. You know, he doesn't have the long arms, but I mean, everything else that you'd want from a big hog molly offensive lineman, he's got it. If I, you know, as a Giants fan, if I could have imagined based on my scouting, my dream scenario before the draft, it would be Barkley in the first round and Will Hernandez in the second round. So I'm happy about that. In the third round, they went after Lorenzo Carter, who I had 48th on my big 50 board. Lorenzo Carter is another guy that's raw, but he has a high upside, and with the right coaching, he literally could be a double-digit sack guy per year or close to that. If you can get talent like that in the third round, to me, that's good. The one pick I didn't like about them is Kyle Uletta, the quarterback that they drafted, I believe, in the fourth round. So the Richmond quarterback, Kyle Uletta, he was drafted so he can be in place, you know, potentially to be a future successor of Eli Manning. That's what they would hope for. Here's why I don't get the pick. After they made the pick, I turned on about a good 30 minutes of Kyle Uletta tape, followed by a 30 minutes of Davis Webb tape, who is their current backup. To me, Davis Webb is the better quarterback. When you look at Kyle Uletta, his ball, when he throws the ball, it sails a lot. Yes, he's worked in a pro style. He can run a pro style offense, but to me, the ceiling is just so low on him because I just don't think he has the arm strength. I always say arm strength is overrated, but you have to have enough of it. And looking at his tape, I don't think he has enough of it. The Giants would have been better served to go with another player here than to get a quarterback who's not as good as your backup. But overall, the Giants nailed it on the first three picks. They got the best player in the draft. They got the second best, or maybe third best, pure guard in the draft to put Isaiah Wynn a little bit ahead of him if you're looking at Isaiah Wynn as a tackle. And they got Lorenzo Carter, who is a top 50 player in the third round. The Giants, you did not screw up the draft. You got it right. All right, looking at the Philadelphia Eagles and how they drafted, the Eagles did not have a first-round pick. However, I believe based on my player evaluations, they got a great pick at pick number 49, and that is Dallas Goedert, the tight end from South Dakota State. Mike Gesicki was picked before him by the Dolphins, but I thought Goedert should have gone first because when you want to talk about a complete tight end, Dallas truly is that. He has great upside. He's still learning, but you know, number one, he's got the size. He's got the ability to block. He's got the ability to get separation and, can take on a lot of the tight end responsibilities that I'm seeing a lot of other guys in this draft not being able to take on in terms of blocking and other things that are important. Dallas, to me, was a great pick for Philadelphia at pick number 49. They also got Josh Sweet, who I thought is an underrated pass rusher at pick 130. So, you know, I got to say, you know, looking at what they did, I mean, in the seventh round, they drafted an offensive tackle from Australia, an Australian rugby player who's a big dude. But looking at, you know, what they had to work with, I think they did pretty good. They also got Avante Maddox in the fourth round, who, you know, I'm not crazy about, but, you know, looking at the fact that they got someone for good value at the end of the second round, good value in the fourth round, and, you know, and then you got a big freaking guy that, you know, may be able to come in and play offensive line. He's a rugby player, so I have not watched tape on him. But, you know, to me, it looks like the Philadelphia Eagles, with what they had to work with, you know, they did a good job. Finishing things off in the NFC East, evaluating what the Washington Redskins did, I will say that when you look at their first round pick, which was Daron Payne, based on how I have Payne ranked on my draft board, it was a reach. But I'm going to say the Redskins did a good job because of this. Yes, I believe they got to get another offensive lineman to help protect Alex Smith. But when you look at who they drafted, they drafted a team that I believe is going to help them with their overall strategy. And if I had a guess, I would say the Redskins' strategy is going to be run offense and run defense to control the game. Their run offense, they got a true running back in Darius Geis. I believe, you know, Geis, you know, if he stays healthy, will be a solid player and a true number one every down running back in this league. Teams were scared of him because of some stuff. You know, I think it was, you know, smoking some marijuana or something like that. But you know, when you want to look at his production and his ability, and you know, the fact that he has vision, burst, a great mentality, you know, when he runs, to get you know, a guy that could have been drafted in the first round, 59th overall, is great. Their first round pick, Daron Payne, he had a lack of production in terms of sacks, but again, I think their strategy is to slow down the run game on the opposing side and for them to have a stronger running game on the offensive side. And Payne's going to slow down your running game. You want to talk about a guy that can be a space eater and, you know, is a guy that, you know, has shown he has production against the run game. You know, that is going to help that a lot. So although I think Daron Payne was a reach, guessing on what the Redskins' strategy is, I would say with that, you know, they did a good job there. So I'm going to say the Redskins, although they usually do it, they did not screw up the draft this year. All right, looking at the NFC North and how those teams, how they drafted. Did they screw up the draft? Did they get it right? Let's start out by looking at the Green Bay Packers. Here's my philosophy is, you know, the Packers got two cornerbacks. They got Jaire Alexander out of Louisville, and they got Josh Jackson out of Iowa. To be honest, they're both good cornerbacks. I see both of them being able to have good careers at the next level. So I like what they did. They shored up their secondary. So you basically, you know, that's a hole on their team. They fixed that hole from best I can see based on how I've seen these players play. I think they'll be good. But here's my issue with it, and here's why I'm really not sure which direction to go on this, because you have to, if you have a quarterback that is truly a once-in-a-generation quarterback, which Aaron Rodgers deserves that recognition. He is a once-in-a-generation type player at quarterback. So with that being said, I thought they needed to put more pieces around Aaron Rodgers, whether it was offensive line help or wide receiver. You know, that's the direction that they should have gone in. They should be thinking most importantly, how do we keep our quarterback healthy? Because Aaron Rodgers has not been healthy. And last I checked, cornerbacks are not going to do any blocking on the offensive line. So I would have liked to see picks being made that would help extend his career. I just didn't see that. So I'm going to say, although they got good draft picks, yeah, you screwed up the draft because you didn't really do much to take care of the main player on your team, your franchise player, and arguably one of the, you know, 5 to 10 best quarterbacks of all time when it's all said and done, Aaron Rodgers. So to me, you know, they have to, they should have done that. They didn't do it. Now, moving on to the Minnesota Vikings and how they drafted. I believe that, you know, the Vikings did a good job with their first two picks. They got who I believe is the best cornerback in the entire draft at the very end of the first round. They got Mike Hughes, the cornerback from UCF, who when I evaluate these cornerbacks, I know most people don't see it, but I really thought he was the best one. I actually put Denzel Ward behind him just by a little bit. In the second round, they did something to help protect their $84 million investment, which is Kirk Cousins. They got Brian O'Neill, a guy that's not NFL ready, but has traits and has what I see as a guy that can be coached up and can be good at the next level. May not be right away. Maybe it will be, but you know, the ability is there. I just think he needs more coaching at this point. Just looking at O'Neill playing, you know, there's a lot of good things that, you know, he has going for him. You know, he has great athleticism, but to me, I just think, you know, the knowledge is not totally there yet. He could still stand up, put on some more size, but I like the pick there, and I'm going to say the Vikings did a good job with their draft. Looking at the New Orleans Saints moved up. They had the 27th pick in the first round, and they moved up to number 15. A lot of people thought they may move up to get a quarterback. Lamar Jackson was still there. But look, to be honest, Drew Brees is still one of the very, very, very best, and I mean top three best quarterbacks in the league. You know, he is still that damn good. So they were not ready to draft his successor yet. However, the player that they moved up for, with the upside that he has the potential of being the biggest steal of the first round. And that is linebacker / D end Marcus Davenport. Marcus Davenport is raw, but his upside, and I'm not saying this because everyone else says it, but his upside truly is ridiculous, and his ability to bend and get around the edge is better than anyone else in the draft, maybe except Bradley Chubb. When I look at Davenport's upside as a pass rusher, to be honest, his ceiling is higher than Bradley Chubb's. The difference is that Marcus Davenport is going to need some time to develop. I like him going to New Orleans because they have a good defensive coordinator there. He can be on the opposite side of Cameron Jordan and learn from him. And they got a player that has, if you're ranking five players with the biggest upside in the draft, he's definitely there. Of any edge rusher, he probably has the biggest upside. So to me, you know, I absolutely love that pick. He's a freak. He's just someone that's going to need to learn a couple things. When I saw him go against higher level competition at the Senior Bowl, you know, it just seemed like that, you know, he was a little bit outmatched. It's just gonna take him some time to develop, but his upside is absolutely outrageous, and I like what they did there. The Saints, you know, they got some undervalued players, you know, the rest of the draft that are gonna help them in different spots they need. So I like what the Saints did. They got a player with great upside in the first round. It is a bit of a risk because he's not developed and he's shown that he has an issue with higher level competition, but I think he's gonna get better at that with the right coaching. Looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm going to say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may have had the best draft of any team, or at least they're, you know, top three in my opinion. The Giants are certainly up there, and I love Tampa Bay's draft as well. They got Vita Vea in the first round, I believe, the 12th overall pick. When I look at Vita Vea on tape, Tampa Bay needs a guy that can collapse the pocket, and this guy can collapse the pocket. You put him on the other side of Gerald McCoy, it's going to make their entire pass rush better. Telling you. In the second round, they got who I think is the second best running back in the draft, and a guy that has upside like you know, Jamal Charles or Kareem Hunt. I'm telling you, if you look at Ronald Jones' play on tape, I just don't see how he was not drafted in the first round. To me, I don't get it. He to me might be the most underrated player in my opinion in the whole draft. I believe he is going to be a candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's going to get on the field and play his rookie year. And when there's a redraft and you're hearing about redrafts in a year, I think Ronald Jones is going to be one of those players that teams wish they took in the top 15 picks. In the rest of the draft, the Buccaneers, they needed help at cornerback. So what do? They got two cornerbacks that were, in my opinion, undervalued and were good picks for where they stood in the draft. They also got an undervalued guard later in the draft. So Tampa Bay did an incredible job, in my opinion. I love their draft, and they absolutely got it right. And finally, in that division, we're going to look at the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, the biggest criticism on their draft, from what I can see, is that teams are saying that they drafted players that they didn't need. So they drafted a wide receiver, Calvin Ridley. You know, they have Julio Jones there. They drafted Isaiah Oliver. And then they already have two really good cornerbacks. So, in my opinion, Atlanta still got the draft right, because in the NFL, you have something called injuries, and injuries are going to happen every single year. The teams that I see that are successful, they have depth at the positions that are really important. Atlanta Falcons, they are huge in the passing game. They got Devontae Freeman now, who's a great running back, but they have Mohamed Sanu, and I get it, but I believe adding Calvin Ridley, who's going to be a top tier number two wide receiver, is going to make that offense better. And you know what? What if Julio Jones gets injured? Then what are your options then? It is a true top end number two wide receiver. Maybe he can develop into number one. I see him as a two, but you know, you also have to look at the fact that, you know, when he was, you know, Calvin Ridley was playing with Jalen Hurts. You know, he's not, you know, Matt Ryan delivering the ball to him is going to make him much better. So I think because of the quarterback he's playing with, you know, there were, you know, we didn't really see truly everything that he's capable of. So I like the pick. He made sense. He adds depth to their wide receiver group. And in the second round, they drafted Isaiah Oliver, a solid cornerback who's going to add depth to their secondary. They already have two good cornerbacks, but I believe, you know, you want to get a third one in there, because one of them is going to get injured. You need a guy in the slot, and I believe that the NFL is built, regardless of whether the fact that running backs have come back, this is still a passing league, and I love what the Falcons did there. Despite the fact that they didn't draft at positions where they really needed players, I still think it was a good move, because you want to add depth at those important positions, and those important positions are what define the Falcons in the first place. So I like what they did there. Overall, I'm going to say that this division, the draft was far and away won by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers got who I think is going to be a superstar defensive tackle in the first round, a superstar running back in the second round, and they filled areas of need with undervalued players in the other round. So Tampa Bay, you won the NFC South. All right, finishing things off with the NFC West, the 49ers, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks. Did any of these teams screw up the draft? Well, I'll tell you. Let's start out with the San Francisco 49ers. I believe the 49ers screwed up the draft. Yes, I think they did. Here's why. They took Mike McGlinchey 9th overall. I think Mike McGlinchey is a great player. I think he's NFL ready. Here's my problem, is that if you're drafting someone that early, I think you want him to be a true left tackle. And for me, you know, and even if you heard his coaches say, He is a better fit at right tackle. McGlinchey has all the skills, but you know, when I look at him, to me he has thin legs, and I just don't know if he's going to have the power to hold up to some of these guys unless he gets stronger. He put up 24 reps on the bench press, which is decent, but to be honest, when I look at his build, I'm just concerned that he will be powerful enough to deal with these guys. I get the idea behind it. You got Jimmy Garoppolo and you want to protect him, but to be honest, you know, I think Connor Williams is more of a true left tackle, the guy that the Cowboys got in the second round. He is more of a true left tackle than Mike McGlinchey. I feel McGlinchey will end up being a right tackle. In terms of skill set, McGlinchey's pro ready. My only question is he strong enough and powerful enough? And you know, if he can get strong and powerful enough, then yeah, maybe. But you know, his coaches see him as a right tackle. That's my concern there. Looking at their second round pick, Dante Pettis, they took 44th overall. I think they messed that one up because I believe Christian Kirk, who went about three or four picks later to the Cardinals, is definitely the better receiver. Kirk is overall a better receiver, and I think they drafted Pettis largely because of his ability on punt and kickoff returns. Well, let me tell you something. Christian Kirk is a better receiver. He was available, and he is also lethal on kick and punt returns. So, to me, I'm a little bit head-scratched by that. The one pick of theirs that I really did like the most was their third-round pick. They got linebacker Fred Warner from BYU. Warner was not looked at as much throughout the draft process, and it's just because he was a late riser, to be honest. But I looked at Fred Warner's tape. The guy looks pretty athletic to me. So when I look at Warner play, I see a guy that has the potential to be an NFL starter. Maybe not right away, but at some point. And to me, if you can get a starter in the third round, that's good. But with pick number 9, there were definitely better players available, in my opinion, than Mike McGlinchey. They reached on there, and there was a better pick in the second round for them in Christian Kirk. So the 49ers, I think you screwed it up. Looking at the Los Angeles Rams, the Rams did not screw up this draft, and I'll tell you why. Let's look at the Rams' philosophy. Their philosophy is we want to win right now. And in terms of assembling a roster to win right now, they've done it. On paper, they have the best roster in the NFL. Absolutely the best roster in the NFL. They have a stud quarterback, a stud running back. They now have Brandon Cooks as receiver. You have two lockdown corners. And then you have to defend Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, which I think is going to be about impossible. So looking at the Rams, that they are designed to win right now. What I like about what they did with their picks is they didn't get guys that it looks like are going to be role players right now. They drafted guys that it looks like they can plug in a few years from now. Look at Joseph Noteboom, a guy that has high upside as a tackle, but he's going to be developmental. And another pick that I really like and someone that I think could actually be good right away is their 6th-round pick, John Kelly, the running back from Tennessee. I turned on the tape of John Kelly this afternoon, and look, there's stuff to like there. He lacks a lot of the physical traits, but if you want to talk about pure skill at the running back position, I believe he has it. So I'm going to say the Rams did a good job considering they did not have a pick in the first round or the second round. They built for the future with players that have high upside, and they've also put themselves in a position to win right now in the offseason. I like what the Rams did. The Seattle Seahawks, they're a tricky one, because in the first round, with pick number 27, they got what people consider a reach, a guy that may have not been drafted until the third round, and that guy is Rashad Penny, the nation's leading rusher from San Diego State. Now, although Penny, may have gone later, I'm not that mad with the pick, and I'll tell you why. Penny is underrated as hell. When I watch him play, this is an NFL pure running back to me. This is a guy that has great vision, can help you decently in the pass game, and has some of the most active legs and feet, probably of any running back in the entire draft. His game speed is faster than his just overall natural speed. In a game, he is lightning fast, and people don't say he's a burner, but I think he is actually. Look. Rashad Penny, I think, was worth going 27th overall. I still think that there were running backs that would have taken before him. But look, Rashad Penny can easily end up being the second best running back in this draft. I think he has that kind of upside. So I would say that, they could have gotten him later, but I understand why they did get him. Their picks after that, their third round pick, Rasheem Green, Will Disley, but the two picks that I do like were outside linebacker Shaquem Griffin at 141 overall. The guy is missing a right hand. Look, the guy has tremendous speed, but also not just tremendous speed, because that's not good enough to be an NFL player. He's a football player. He is a true football player, and definitely a feel good story that He's going to be playing with his brother. You know, they had a very, him and his brother Shaquille, who's also on the Seahawks, had a nice little embrace after he got drafted. It was definitely very nice to see. And their fifth round pick, Trey Flowers, someone who they picked 146 overall, who I think is underrated. I am going to say neutral. I'm neutral on this. I don't know whether to say they got it right or they screwed it up. This is the hardest one for me to evaluate. The reason being is that I believe you could have gotten Rashad Penny in the third round. There were and I believe there are better running backs ahead of him. However, when I watched Penny on tape, to me he looks like a first round pick, even though other people don't see it. So I'm going to say I'm a bit neutral on that. It's the only one that I've been neutral on, but that is my stance on the Seattle Seahawks.